I think it's quite significant. It really reflects the fact that world leaders, I think, now kind of need, a handful of private tech execs who are the people who are actually making this technology to be at the table in order to, at least, I think, give some credence to whatever it is that is decided there.
And Kay, do you think it does indicate just how powerful the bosses of these big companies are now, that they've got this very powerful AI tool, which they, to a degree, can decide where it goes?
Undoubtedly, yes. And I agree with Jessica. I don't think this is entirely new. It's entirely new that it's being done openly. But, when we look back in history, whether it was the successful son of a earl in the UK, or whether it was the president taking a friend who was a CEO of a company on diplomatic missions, we have seen this. And obviously, we used to see it at Davos, where the whole purpose of Davos was that leaders of business got together with leaders of countries and they could network and make decisions together and things like that. But I think what's different about this is exactly what Jessica was mentioned. This is in the open. This is similar to President Trump taking the AI executives to China with him. And it's really showing the power that the AI companies have over the governments through lobbying, but also because they have this unique power at the moment in regard to the economy as well.
And I'll come to the economic repercussions in a moment. But Jessica, artificial intelligence has developed and is being developed so quickly. Is there a real concern here about who is controlling it or providing the guardrails? I mean, we saw, didn't we, the US government intervening to prevent countries outside the US having access to Anthropic's latest AI models. But there aren't really global rules controlling this, are there?
No, there are not. I would say there's good arguments for having these companies at the table. They're, going to be responsible for implementing whatever standards are decided, and they have, enormous technical and practical knowledge that we want at the table. But we have to remember that they are also corporate actors, who are beholden, to corporate pressures and corporate interests. They, do not have a democratic mandate. And so I think it's, incumbent on those who are constructing these forums to think about balancing those equities. Maybe like a good model is, pharma companies, for example. They inform health policy, but they're not like sitting at the table when the WHO makes its decisions. And so I think we just want to make sure that we have, a balance here. That's sort of how I see it.
And just before I go to Kay on this, it is the US which is so far ahead of the rest of the world and these US tech companies that are way ahead, certainly of Europe and probably of anywhere else in the world.
I think the US is certainly ahead in the race to the frontier. China, of course, is not too far behind. I think there are some interesting developments here in terms of the relationship between US and the United States and Europe over technology, right? I think our, two countries sort of take a broadly different approach around privacy, sort of corporate power, the precautionary principle. We just sort of have these like broader differences in our approach that was there before the EU AI Act, but it's certainly there now.
And President Macron, ahead of this meeting, said that he wanted to see progress to ensure that there was wider access to Anthropic's Mythos, which is this latest AI model. Kay, is it clear whether there has been any progress on all of this, or whether actually at the moment we're in this situation that the US and the US tech companies can decide who gets what?
We are in the latter position at the moment. And, one of the things that we've been talking about is regulation. And the Trump government has been very anti-regulation. And yet, suddenly, last week, there is the order from the FCC around Fable, which is Mythos by another name. And it banned even foreign citizens living in America from having access to it, which actually banned a lot of the people who had created it having access to it. So it's a very interesting moment that we are in, regulatory in the United States and the thinking. I also think that Anthropic's been told that they have to put in guardrails that can't be circumvented, and yet we have no clue how to put in guardrails that can't be circumvented. And so there are some pretty major issues around this. And I think we will be waiting to find out what the next move is from the government and Anthropic.
The big concern, Jessica, is that these companies, these businesses are so powerful, not just because of what artificial intelligence can do these days, but as Kay mentioned a moment ago, their economic power. We've just seen Elon Musk become a trillionaire. We know that these big tech companies are really having a huge effect on the markets, and President Trump loves to see the markets doing well. How much concern is there in the United States about the power of the tech companies and the fact that the Trump administration seems to be so enthralled to them?
I think you're seeing growing concern within the United States about the AI build out, both, you know, it's manifesting in terms of opposition to data center siting, you know, anxiety about labor market transformations and what that mean for individual citizens, parents worried about the safety of their children online or what they might learn in schools. And so I think that those pressures are sort of real and potentially deep. And I think they are a force that these companies are going to have to contend with. You know, they're just sort of racing towards these, you know, landmark IPOs. But of course, like, their market positions matter, and they will be shaped in part by the willingness of people to adopt these tools and to support the build out of the infrastructure that this sort of provides the backbone for it.
And Kay, there's a real sign, isn't there, that here in the UK, we're just very out of step with the way that the US views all of this. We've now got Keir Starmer's government, if he remains in power long enough to implement it, committed to banning social media for under 16s, even though we know that that is not something which the social media companies wanted to see. Is this perhaps a belated attempt by the British government, and it's happening in other places as well. Of course, there's already a similar move in place in Australia. Are there now belated attempts by governments to try to get a handle on all of this?
Yes, I think so. And, you know, the UK's approach had been through the CMA regulator to simply let it sort of flow and regulate through a regulator as opposed to legislation. But now we are seeing, I think, and probably reflecting that comment that Jessica just made, that, you know, parents are really worried about how AI is being used. Even digital natives are worried about how AI will be used. There's a recent study out that said that 44% of Gen Z in American corporate jobs were actively undermining their company's AI strategy because they're frightened of losing their jobs. So I think that, you know, we see Austria has also got a social media ban coming in. So we are seeing this change. And that is really in reflection to public demand. And I think what's interesting is when we talk about the US, we have to really talk about the federal government's stance and the state's government's stance. And if you look at the states, most of them now, whether they're blue or red, have some regulation around AI and are in conflict, in fact, with the federal government, which has been trying for some time to push to end states' rights to actually legislate in regard to AI.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, isn't it? This question of who controls, who regulates all of this. Reuters is reporting that the OpenAI chief executive, Sam Altman, actually urged the G7 leaders to take control of AI governance, saying that it's very useful to have all these debates, saying, do not cede your responsibilities to AI labs like mine, he's saying. I mean, it sounds, doesn't it, Jessica, as though people like Sam Altman actually want the political leaders to take control of the governance, the regulation, the guardrails, and try and control this rapidly developing technology.
Yeah, I think there are sort of two things at play here. You know, one is the importance of being seen, of caring about safety and good governance, you know, for its own sake, but also being seen to care about those things. And then also, you know, for companies, this is the case in AI and is in every industry. It's much, you know, easier to comply with a single set of global rules or standards than with fragmented governance that looks different state by state, country by country, within countries. And so, you know, some sort of broader coherence is, I think, also in their interests.
Yeah, just finally, Kay, we're a very long way, aren't we, from having any kind of global agreement on rules and regulations for this?
Yes, absolutely. We are a very long way. And also, I think, you know, often we're having this conversation about the economics of today and the value of AI today. And we are not thinking about the economic conversation that we should be having to put us in the right place with AI in 5 years' time. For example, these companies are actively looking at, you know, matching human intelligence and surpassing human intelligence. And really, we need to start thinking about policies we need for today, but also policies we need for what's coming down the pipeline.